Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
I do not live or work in the world of the academy. And people who do, they have to conduct their research and their work by a certain standard. It's simple honesty. And if you're going to do a study, you want an honest study. You want one that follows a scientific method and that draws legitimate conclusions from the data that you gather. You want your data to be complete. All of those things. We want this in this world. We want an honest academy. We want an honest study. Now, there are some subjects that when the academy takes them up, you're just asking for it, aren't you? You're going to do a study on something like how well children fare when raised by gay parents as opposed to heterosexual parents? Well, and unless your study shows that they fare just as well or if not better, you're in for some trouble. And, well, a frequent guest here on Issues Etc., University of Texas professor of sociology, Mark Regneris, found that out in spades. He conducted a study called New Family Structure Study, published his findings, and he was accused of academic misconduct. And then he's been cleared. We're going to be talking about this University of Texas professor who is cleared of academic misconduct charges for a study on children being raised by gay parents. Dr. Jennifer Obeck-Morse will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. And we're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 18th. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker will round off this entire hour with us. We'll be talking about the children of Israel entering the promised land. We'll take us to Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, all the way through the middle of chapter 5. A little Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker later on Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Obeck-Morse is a regular guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she has authored the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm wondering, we've had Mark Regneris on the program several times, and we've even talked.
Good for you.
We've talked about his study as well. Why was he accused, and why were charges filed against him for academic misconduct?
Well, you know, why is an ambiguous question. I mean, if you ask what was the motive of the person doing it, I think it's pretty clear the person didn't like the outcome of his studies, and so was he was grasping at straws, basically, to find some way to discredit Mark Regneris himself and the study in general. And indeed, the University of Texas said as much in their review of the situation. They said, you know, look, there's no evidence of misconduct. There's not even enough here to launch an investigation. There's no conceivable way you could say that he, you know, falsified his data or plagiarized or any of those kinds of things that really have to do with misconduct. And they flat out said, you know, this person didn't like the results and so thought there must have been misconduct. But, you know, you might have honest difference of interpretation of data, but that doesn't mean that there's anything like misconduct. So, you know, why did the person do it? I think they were trying to discredit the study so that it wouldn't have the currency that I think it deserves. I think Regnerus's study is quite good, better, in fact, than most of the material, in fact, better than any of the material that I know about that's out there. And yet it has these results that advocates for same-sex parenting consider to be devastating results. And so they would prefer that the study just go away and hopefully Mark Regnerus go away with it. But I just don't think that's a credible outcome here.
What did Regnerus's study conclude?
Well, the controversy was over how he defined lesbian mothers, okay? He asked young adults ages 19 through 39 or something like that. He asked young adults, when you were growing up, did either of your parents ever have a same-sex sexual relationship? Thinking that that was a more accurate, something that people could actually recall, you know, and it's tangible. If you say, was your mom a lesbian, you have no idea what the person would mean if they answered yes or no to that question. So he asked something very concrete. Did either of your parents have a same-sex sexual relationship while you were growing up? And so any child whose mother, you know, said, yes, my mom did, was classified as having had a lesbian mother. Anybody who said, my dad did, was classified as having a gay father. And so what they found was that in many of the categories of child functioning, of adult functioning, that the children of same-sex parents so defined were having more difficulties compared to the children of intact biological families, and in some cases compared even to children of divorce and single parents and things like that. So the most provocative, I would say, was the result that said that children with lesbian parents defined this way were less likely to define themselves as exclusively heterosexual, and such children were more likely to say that they had been forced to have sex against their will, or that they had been touched sexually by an adult or parent sometime during their childhood. There are also indicators like depression and attachment and issues like that that also indicate some distress associated with their childhood. So on a number of counts, the children of same-sex parents look different from the children of intact married biological parents.
To your knowledge, is Regnerus's study the only one that indicates that there's some concern about children being raised by other than intact heterosexual couples?
Actually, there are a couple of other things that have come out, and there was a companion piece that came out at the same time as Regnerus's study by a guy called Lauren Marks. And by the way, the Ruth Institute blog and the Ruth Institute Facebook page, we have links to both of these studies. So if you want to find Regnerus' study or the Marks study, you know, go look at the Ruth Institute Facebook page. But Professor Marks goes through an analysis of all of the studies that were used in the American Psychological Association's report that claimed no difference between same-sex parents and others. And in that report, even back in 2005, there was a study done on Australian data that seemed to show that there were some problems for the kids, and the person writing the report downplayed that and made like it didn't matter. So even as back as far as 2005, that was an issue. And I just came across one recently that showed some concern about academic performance. I can't bring to mind right now exactly the details of that study, but the really significant difference about Regnerus's study, Todd, is it's the first one that is really taking a truly representative random sample of the population. So he spent a lot of money and a lot of time hiring a professional polling firm or data collection firm to interview people at random, you know, and to make sure that you were getting a representative sample of the population. And by doing that, I think that makes the study far more reliable than the things that have gone before that have purported to say there's no difference between the children of gay parents and others. The samples have been badly, badly flawed in the other cases.
Jennifer, with about a minute and a half here, what should people who are both doing studies like this and people who are reading studies like this learn from the Mark Rigneris and academic misconduct scandal that he has been cleared of course? What should we learn from this?
Well, I think you should learn that there are some people who will stop at nothing to discredit any evidence that goes against their ideological predilections. That's the first thing. I think a lot of your listeners probably already knew that. But the other thing that people should be aware of is that the mantra of there's no difference between same-sex parents and opposite-sex parents, that mantra was always an extreme statement, if you think about it. And that mantra, I don't think you are required by the evidence to believe that claim. I mean, if you think about it, Todd, we've talked about this on this program many times before. All of the so-called alternative family forms that we've come up with, single parenthood, divorce and remarriage, all those alternative forms, none of them have worked as well as mom and dad married to each other for a lifetime. And now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, two women living together are going to beat all of the odds and do what no other group in the society has ever been able to do, and somehow they're going to be able to be no different at all from same-sex, from opposite-sex married couples. The claim on the face of it was never really very plausible. And now Professor Rigneris' study, which has been vindicated, shows that there is real reason to be concerned about it.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's the author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. We'll have a link to the Ruth Institute and to its blog at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to be entering the Promised Land, led by the Ark. Joshua chapter 3 through chapter 5. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us for the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 18th.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.